2024 is going to be the summer of love. I can just feel it. And whether you're loving with somebody or just loving yourself, it's always nice to spice things up in the bedroom whenever you're ready to switch things up. And Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item and free shipping, which includes rush processing. And that's not all. When you select one item, you'll also get a free sex kit that includes items for him, something special for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. The sex kit includes six free movies for your viewing pleasure, and Adam and Eve wants to make your life easy. They offer discreet shipping as your privacy is a priority, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. Just enter offer code Abby, A-B-B-Y, at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby, code Abby. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode. Today, I'm joined by everybody's favorite co-host. It's ex-co-worker Justin. I love getting to be on the other side of seeing you in the studio that I used to record in.
Yeah. does it scare you? Like, oh my God, it's that room. I forgot.
It's a bit of a jump scare. And for context for everybody listening, so Justin is at work. I work mornings now, so we're recording in the afternoon. Justin is in the production studio that I used to record in. I look like I've just been hit by a bus. I just woke up from a fat nap because I work early mornings. You know that meme? It's like that Bratz doll where she's like smudged mascara and like messy. That is me. So I just
are you on Jasper TikTok?
Oh. That's what I look like right now. That's literally what I look like when Justin opened the camera for us to break down this episode. The 5 a.m. wake up call is kicking my ass.
You just gotta up the caffeine intake, and then those naps are key.
Justin, I have anxiety. I had to give up caffeine.
Oh, okay. Well, then definitely nap.
Well, anyway, just a little heads up. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find the Breakup Breakdown Podcast on Instagram at Breakup Breakdown Podcast. Don't forget, if you have a breakup story that you want to tell on the Breakup Breakdown, or if you have somebody you want us to look into, the breakup submission form is in the episode description. So this week's main episode dealt with a bunch of different things, but the first thing I want to kick off with is love bombing. We haven't talked about love bombing on the podcast in a hot second, so I thought this would be a great time to define what it is and how I feel like it fits into this episode. Love bombing is a form of psychological and emotional abuse that involves a person going above and beyond for you in an effort to manipulate you into a relationship with them. It looks different for every person, but it usually involves some form of excessive flattery or praise, over communication of their feelings for you, showering you with unneeded and unwanted gifts, early and intense talks about your future together. And that is the final one where I feel like this perfectly slides into place with this episode. They meet in Vegas, they hit it off, they are so obsessed with each other, they're falling into infatuation, and he pulls the I love you, I think like 2 days into meeting her. And what I think is so interesting, other than the fact that this is so wrong, like I totally feel like this is a love bombing situation where he said I love you as a way to manipulate her into catching feelings, my personal opinion. I also think it's an interesting question to think about. What's the criteria for being allowed to say I love you? Do you know what I mean? Because I know that saying I love you within 2 days of meeting someone feels a little manipulative and wrong, but when you lay it out on paper, I sound like an asshole. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who am I to say if he loves her or not?
Well, and I feel like it's one of those things, like it's the reason the when can you say I love you comes up is because like everyone wants you have to make it to the 3 week mark or the 2 month mark. Like they want a defined answer. And I don't think you can really have one because, like, in my relationships, a lot of the times, like, we waited a really long time in a few of them. And then, like, Nicole and I said it a lot earlier than I even thought I was ready for. But she said it. And I was like, well, I mean, I do. I didn't think we were saying this yet. You know what I mean?
Why didn't you feel like you were ready for it?
I didn't want to scare her off. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was too early on in a relationship to say that. We were probably, like, maybe a month and a half in, maybe. And it was, you know, it was on and off dating. And the reason also felt kind of shorter was it was long distance for probably 3 of those weeks. You know, it was like we were dating, but like it was more just texting and calling each other more than like actually going out to a restaurant or going to a movie or something like that. So yeah, I think a lot. lot of times it might not even be a love bombing thing, but I think people resort to saying I love you because they don't know how to communicate the actual feeling the person's making them feel. Like, you make me feel more confident, you make me feel good about myself, you think, like, they just kind of group that into like an I love you and here you go. Yeah, you support me and that makes me feel good, I love you, instead of saying all of that is just I love you. So like there's that.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the morning show that I'm a part of, the Burt Show, for everyone who's just getting to know me personally. And we were talking about how there are two members of the show that have never said I love you or have never been in love before. And that was me and the other resident single person on the show. His name is Mo. He's got a podcast if you want to check it out. It's called In the Moment. But he has actually said the words I love you to somebody. But he admitted that he's never been in love before. And I thought that was interesting, conveying that feeling but not being in love.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's the reason I've never said it to anybody, is because I have never felt like I've been in love with anybody.
And so, that might be because like you're really good at articulating what you're feeling. From a guy's perspective, having someone that finally cares about you more than your bros, who you don't really talk to them because you don't want to burden them with your feelings and all this stuff. You don't understand that there's somebody that can understand you or is willing to understand and hear your problems and care about it. So you automatically go, wow, this feeling that I have because they're listening to me, that's love. And it might not be, you know, it might not in that moment, you might think it is. But then like, as you get down the line, you go, oh no, this person's just willing to like, hear me out, like a therapist.
Yeah. No, I think that's also sometimes why men and women, or men have a harder time just being friends with women, is because they are starved for that kind of emotional attention from their friends.
There was, I keep going back to TikTok, but there was a TikTok of a woman who was like, I have two guy friends and the one guy didn't even know the other guy friend was engaged. And it's like, wait, you're friends and you don't talk about this? And it's like, yeah, dudes, just don't. We don't talk about like that kind of stuff with each other. And there was a follow-up video of that went into like the quote unquote psyche of it, that claimed guys are told from an early age not to express feelings, like it's a sign of weakness and a burden. And so talking to your bros about how you're feeling or if you're struggling is a burden, and because I like my friends, I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to talk sports and not bother them with my problems. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because my guy friends and I, like, we do talk about some of that stuff now. But in college, it was like, do not bring that up to me. I am too drunk to care right now. You know,
that's so sad to me. I'm like thinking of, that's all me and my friends talk about, is obviously the boy issues that we're having, but also like when my therapist can't pick up or when my therapist is ghosting me, I'm like, hello, can you listen to me vent about what's going on in my life? I don't know how I'm feeling.
And sometimes you do have to like talk it out to understand what you're feeling, you know, like sometimes you really do have to just like say things, word jargon, until it finally is like, that's what I meant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that, I don't know if I fully agree with the like guys don't do that take, but either way, I feel like that might be part of why somebody would say the words I love you and not mean it. Or I mean, like, I'm the same person. Like, if someone said they love me, like I love you to me, I'd probably just say it back, because I'm like, I'm not saying it. Definitely not saying it now, you know?
I know. It's like, how do you respond?
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, you too, my guy. Yeah. Dude, no one's ever said the word I love you that was like a romantic interest. So I haven't run into that problem just yet.
So you will, I mean, because I remember my very first girlfriend that said it, like it was like a whole thing. It was like a whole ordeal to say it to each other. Again, we were at that point, we were like 17. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know if it's different now. Like, we're all obviously much more mature than when we were 17, but it was like such a thing to say. Yeah. When that happened. So
I think I kind of know that when I get into the right relationship, I just feel like we'll get each other, if that makes sense. I think I'm past the phase of having a lukewarm relationship where we're sort of like not sure about each other's feelings. I'm just at a place in my life, we're either going to work out or we're not going to work out. You know what I mean? I don't want to force something. So I kind of feel like if I do get to that point, and if somebody else gets to that point with me, it'll be because we're kind of on the same page.
I would place bets on that it would happen fairly quickly in that relationship, in that sense, because in your case, you know what you're looking for. And hopefully at that same point, that person knows what they're looking for. So you guys would just, it would like click. You know what I mean?
So let's be a little prescriptive before we move on. If you had to have a license to say I love you to someone, for you to like really mean it, what do you think are the three criteria you think that person needs to meet? Like, do you think it needs to involve a certain amount of time? Do you need to have some kind of active selflessness? What's your take on that?
Definitely not time.
Wow. Okay.
Definitely not time. Because like, again, like my buddy who is going through a lot of rough stuff, a girl who is also going through a lot of rough stuff, and them together are so great. And he called me because I check in on him all the time because he was really in a rough spot until he met her. And I mean, they were like probably 3 weeks in and he's like, yeah, we already said I love you to each other. And I'm like, good for you, man. Because like you two, from an eagle-eyed view, I'm looking at this relationship and they do complement each other in that aspect. Now, in what we were just talking about, I do believe they may be saying I love you more as like you're helping me through this tough time and so we're in love because we're helping each other. But I think for them, it's good for them to be able to say that to each other because I think they understand what it means.
Yeah.
So saying like you can't say it until you're 2 months in, like, well, then they still wouldn't be saying it and they both overthink things. So like maybe it would be like, oh, well, they haven't said it yet. So maybe they don't, you know, stuff like that.
But yeah.
I really wouldn't put a timetable on it.
The only reason I would put time in my 3 criteria is I think for you to genuinely mean that you love someone, you have to see somebody when they're not lovable and still want to love them. That to me is what I love you means. I'm not saying that you can't see that side of somebody in 2 weeks. I'm just saying that it's not likely, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So maybe it's not like a timetable thing. It's like you have to see them through a tough moment or tough time, whatever that may be, to really understand that. It's a bullet point, but it's not time specific, but it's like you have to go through this thing, this moment, whether it's one side or the other. I don't know, you're at the checkout line and the cashier does something stupid and she goes ballistic on them because of something and you're like, oh, I still want to date you after this.
Yep. I still want to go home and make those tacos with you, Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay, so do they say I love you to each other within like 2 days of meeting each other? They get together and they end up dating for about 3 years, I believe. You know, some sketchy stuff goes down and they decided they're going to take a break. But within this break, they're still saying I love you to each other. She said that they were still planning on getting back together with the other.
Okay.
But during this break, he ends up marrying somebody else. But we could just label that as cheating. If you cheat while you're on a break, this is like the classic age-old friends debate.
We were on a break.
Is that cheating?
I mean, technically, no. But you know what you're doing when you hook up with somebody and you're on a quote-unquote break. You're like fully breaking it off at that point. If you're still saying I love you to each other or texting each other like that, then there's still something there. If it's like we need a break and you break up and you're not talking to each other and you're upset and you're like, I'm just going to go out and have a one-night stand, you know where that path goes. Like, that means you're done. So in my mind, in the psyche of the person doing that, it might not be that in this case, this person might have been trying to use that as a chance to get a second life, essentially. You know, if you're in a break and you go and cheat on somebody, in the back of your mind, you're essentially ripping the band-aid off where you at that relationship it was only half off. You know, like it's either fully done or it's not, and hooking up with somebody is going to make it fully done.
That's exactly how I feel. Whether or not you want to consider it actually cheating, I would never get back with you after that. Now, I think the hard thing is like, what, back to the timetable situation, how long is a break versus an actual breakup? Because if you break up and it's, you know, just 3 weeks, we get to get back together after the 3 weeks, I still would not want to get back together with you, even if we weren't on a break. I would still be like, you moved on that quick physically? Like, what the hell?
I agree. There would still be some questions like, yo, what's going on? And I think a legit answer, I know this might not be the one you want to hear, but a legit answer would be like, I was upset, I went out, I got drunk, and I hooked up with somebody, and it meant nothing. And to me, it's like, okay, fine, then don't be an idiot again. And I know that might not be the answer everyone wants to hear in that sense, but I can see the, like, just angry at the situation, even maybe thinking it was going to happen for 2 weeks, and it doesn't, so then you go out one night on a Friday, and stupid stuff happens.
And I'll bring this up, because this was a debate that we had on the show, and I didn't really know how I wanted to answer it. So let's say you're in a relationship with somebody and you haven't broken up yet. You're fighting and it feels like you're going to break up and you sleep with someone else. What's your take on that?
That you're still together. You didn't end it. If it's like one of those things where like you're still going home, if you're living together in this scenario, you're still going home and saying goodnight to each other and texting, even though it's feeling like there's a end date, an expiration date on the relationship, that's still cheating.
My thoughts exactly.
I had one that was like the opposite of that in high school, where we were very much interested in each other. Like, it was very obvious we wanted to date. And I forget how we got to the conclusion, but we decided to just be friends with benefits, which for a guy in high school is like, yeah, this is great. Like, you know, sure. And then when a third party entered the chat that was also on the same page of just being friends with benefits, months, that's when all hell broke loose, to describe it lightly. It didn't go over well with the first person. Okay. And I was like, well, we're just friends with benefits. But looking back, I mean, it's been more than 10 plus years. Like, we very much had feelings for each other.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to put a label on it. And so then I was like, okay, like, be a dumb high school kid. Okay, let's go talk to other people. And I did. And it went horribly. It did not go over well.
Yeah, learn from Justin's mistake.
But that's not cheating, right?
I don't know. It sounds like it meant more than just, you know, a little friends with benefits situation.
It was her friend, and that probably didn't help things.
Then what happens is he marries this other person. She's like, okay, well, our relationship is done. I want nothing to do with you. And he ends up sending her a letter, basically listing off all the reasons why he decided to run off with this woman and elope. He explained to her that he had some heart problem that had come back from his childhood, and it was terminal, and he didn't want to do that to her and her child by, like, attaching himself to them. And it was this whole shtick where she was like, okay, well, this is BS. You've never once talked about this heart problem. I was conflicted when I was listening, because I had a moment where I was like, well, what if he really does have this, you know, heart problem, and he really didn't, you know, want to attach them? But then I was like, wait a second, but you got married to some
another person
else. So you're okay with latching yourself onto that person?
When you were saying it, in my mind, it sounded like a little bit of manipulation, for, I guess, lack of a better word, but another way to kind of spin the story so you're not the bad guy, in a way.
Yeah. This whole story, I feel like, has had multiple forms of manipulation, whether it was saying, I love you, and I'm not saying it was an intentional way of trying to manipulate her emotions, but I think saying it after 2 days could be a little bit.
Well, I think sometimes manipulation, you don't realize you're doing it until you, like, look back at the situation. You're like, well, I said it this way, but then you see, like, everything that came with it or the way that it went, and you're like, oh, that was kind of manipulative of me.
Or I was doing something that I knew put myself first instead of somebody else.
Yeah.
Which, if you've done somebody wrong and you married someone at the last, or, like, randomly, not great. But something that I always find really sad in these stories is when kids are involved. And I feel like I've had a lot of stories where kids have been the victims of some of these relationships as well. And so both of them had kids. So he had kids. I think she has one child. And she was talking about how difficult it's been because she had a relationship with his kid. And I thought about how unfair that was, that you could be in those kids' lives for 3 years and be sort of a parental figure, and you don't have any rights to them because you weren't their step parent officially. You didn't adopt.
Right.
And I think they want to have a relationship with her. So do you think it's messed up of him to not let her have a relationship with them? Or do you think he has every right because he's their parent and they were never married?
Weirdly enough, I side with him on that one. Like, okay. No, I understand that you want to be involved. But kid, like, I don't know, parenting stuff. Like, yes, that makes a whole nother wrinkle in, like, bringing people to the house. Like, it's a whole nother step in that, like, form of relationship. Like, you meet the kid is a whole thing, because it is one of those things, like, if that relationship doesn't work out, it's hard to explain to a four-year-old why said person isn't around anymore. And I can see it from being like, you know, I would be the same way. Like, if I were dating somebody that had a kid and then we broke up, I'd still want to know, like, oh, how's the kid doing? You know, they were trying out for football, or they were practicing this. I'd love, and I was helping them. Like, I would want to know. I would want that kind of closure in that story. But that, to be really even more confusing and muddy up the situation altogether again on top of it. So I kind of side with him and say no, but I know how hard that would be, because I would definitely be in her shoes. Like, I would want to still have that relationship with that person.
Yeah, I definitely think it's an unfair situation, because on a human level, I think she should be able to have a relationship with those kids, especially if they need a parental figure in their life. It doesn't really sound to me like maybe there's a solid home structure, and if there's a responsible adult around that they really respect, I feel like that could be really beneficial to the kids. However, I kind of feel like if they're not 18 and they're not adults, it is kind of up to their parental figure to be able to decide who can and cannot be in their life, as unfair as I think that is.
Yeah, I agree. The answer I'm saying, it's not the answer I want to say.
I feel the exact same way, because I'm you just want those kids to have, like, a good life, especially if they had a really great relationship with her. And that's sad. I could imagine, even though she she wasn't their step-parent, maybe it felt like she was a stepmother.
And maybe the kids would be a million times better off with her in their life. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not up to her or the kids, really. It's up to the parents until they're 18. And then, you know, that's a whole nother situation.
And the final thing that happened that really made me believe that the letter was a form of manipulation is that he had a little bit of a last-ditch effort, and he told her that the woman that he married roofied him, and that's how he, I know this is getting really dark now, roofied him, and that's how she convinced him, or I don't know, got him to the altar. But she was like, I saw those photos, he looked very much alive. And I've told you before that I believe that I was roofied at a bar. I wasn't capable of getting married or like saying vows or smiling in a photo.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, obviously that's a whole drug situation, and I don't know how people react to those drugs, but from everything I've understood from the little bit I know about it is, yeah, you're gonzo, right? Like, you're not, there's no way to really kind of continue going with knowing all the backstory, knowing all the quote unquote manipulation. It seems like more manipulation. I feel like, isn't there like a whole thing with weddings? Like, you have to be in good mind and good health or something like that. Like, there is a part of that too. So
I know, it makes me wonder how anybody's able to get hitched in Vegas. Like, is anybody right right mind when they're in Vegas?
I doubt it. I mean, it's Vegas, you know, there's a lot going on.
It's Vegas.
I just had a buddy there for the Taylor Swift concert, and he said it was wild. So
I can't wait. I'm gonna be on another level when I see Tay Tay in, oh my gosh, a little over a month. I'm so excited. But anyway, I brought up the roofie thing, A, because it was a part of the story, but B, I actually carry around these little slips of paper where you can test your drinks.
Yeah.
There's drugs in them. I'll link them in this episode description if anybody cares about, you know, staying safe. Well, this is so bad. Do you care about being safe while you're at a bar? But if that's something you want to be conscious about, if you know that happens in your area, I'll link those in the episode description.
Especially now that we're doing all the paper straw stuff, and this isn't like hate on paper straws, but why not put whatever is in those things that can test that liquid? Why not just put it in the paper straw? And I know a lot of people don't drink beer and stuff like that with a straw.
I do.
But that's more of like a female thing. I feel like guys don't really drink through a straw that much.
Yeah.
For beer.
But I know one of my close friends here got roofied, and he's a guy. Although I think he might have gotten a drink from something that was intended for a girl. But it does happen to men, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, there's a few times in college that, like, if you told me that's what happened, I'd believe you. But, like, why not have the straws have that technology in them where, like, they're white usually, you know, because it's like a paper straw. But, like, if you take a sip and it happens to have that stuff in it, there'll be a black line that comes on the outside of the straw or something. And then that gives you an idea of something not great happening. And I know at that point you've maybe already taken a sip, but at least then you can stop yourself and get out of that situation, hopefully.
Well, one sip is better than a whole drink, because then
maybe, that's what I mean.
Yeah, at least maybe then you can get yourself out of that situation. Or maybe you'll end up getting married in Vegas. Who knows? Well, anyway, thank you, coworker Justin, for once again coming on and being free labor for me for my podcast.
No problem.
Appreciate all that you do for us. Be sure to check out Justin on Instagram. What's your username? It's at Justin C on the air.
Justin C on the air.
Be sure to check
out. A lot of baby content to come.
Oh my gosh, I forgot the countdown is on. When is she due?
May 23rd.
Hell yeah, brother. We're excited for you to become Father Justin.
Father Justin.
And for you to be our baby correspondent, our baby daddy correspondent.
Oh, man.